Blog Talk Radio.
It's Business Baby with Melissa Amber on Blog Talk Radio. Savvy solutions for your business.
Good evening, everyone. You're on with Melissa Ambers with It's Business Baby. And today we are talking with Phyllis Williams, who is an author, best-selling author, I may add. And the name of her book is The Art of Me, 30 Strategies for Discovering Your Self-Worth. Hello, Phyllis. How are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I am wonderful. So tell us, you know, it's really interesting, the title of your book, and V is T-H-E-E, The Art of Me. So tell us, what is The Art of Me, and how did you come to that title?
When I first started brainstorming of writing a book, I had so many titles. I knew I wanted it to be poetry, and I had some horrible titles. I think one was Personal Growth Through Poems. But that's just because sometimes I'm so objective-driven. But that really doesn't draw an audience. And I thought of some more titles, and my friends, they agreed that The Art of Me was very powerful. I went to a seminar in Atlanta, and it was a spiritual seminar that was discussing speaking. And while I was there, it was like, The came over me instead of the. And I feel like the is one, it is spiritual. We're spiritual beings and also poetic. So I thought adding the extra E gave it a little more up and made it more poetic, more spiritual.
Okay. Okay. And what made you go in that direction of, you know, keeping the being spiritual about it and bringing that into the book instead of just, you know, keeping it general?
As I was saying, that I think we're spiritual beings, and we go through things in our life, and we question why, but we have to remember that God is the author of our lives. So no matter what you've gone through, just know it's for a greater purpose. Each experience is a part of your destiny. So I felt like it was also tied into destiny. Someone actually helped me, Dr. Fred Jones, with the subtitle, because I didn't have a subtitle at first, and he read the book also, the preview of it, and he said, oh, these are strategies to discover your self-worth. So he stated 30 strategies to discover your self-worth, and I just want every woman to read it to walk a little prouder and have more confidence.
Okay, so is it because, do you run across a lot of women before and after your book that was lacking confidence and the book helped them, or that contributed to you coming up with your content for the book?
Actually, the book is a collection of poems that I wrote some of them like 9 years ago. And I look at myself 9 years ago and today, and I just see how much I've grown. So the 30 strategies was how I got through, and a lot of it was through networking with other women leaders like Coach Billy Crooks and my mentor, Dr. Jacqueline Howard, and they helped me discover my self-worth and confidence. And it was just a total turnaround because I was so timid. I know a lot of people on my Facebook page, they comment on that I was a timid, quiet person, very mousy type. But now I'm not so much. I do a Periscope. I do a radio interview. So
right.
That's something that they couldn't imagine probably 5 years ago for me.
Oh, okay. So the growth that you've seen from 9 years ago till today, what is the biggest change you would say that you see within yourself?
Biggest change that I've seen, and I'm still working on it, is
of
sometimes
course, right.
we can feel as if we're so odd. Many people feel as if they don't fit in. Now I'm at the point mm-hmm. where I don't fit in, and I'm kind of glad that I don't. I was a peculiar child. I went to a school that was, like, predominantly black, but I would wear black lipstick and black fingernail polish and dress mm-hmm. kind of gothic with the chain when I was probably very younger. And then even when I was in the military, I just was kind of the oddball, the girl with the natural hair, which when it wasn't popular. But now I look at all of those things, and I'm glad that I experienced it because it made me diverse. It made me unique. And I know there's other ladies that may deal with other things. They may be very pritchy, and people always comment on that about them, or they may be very mm-hmm. sporty, and people say, oh, why won't you wear heels? But we just have to discover who we are and accept our truth.
Okay. Well, we're going to cut really quick to a quick break, and we're going to come right back and catch back up with on being different and how someone can get through that block of wanting to be themselves and then trying to go with the peer pressure of what other people think that they should be. So we will be right back, and we're going to catch back up with on The Art of Me.
It's time for Tiny Tips with a Huge Impact.
Our Tiny Tips today is presented by Paperless Expert. And today's tip is about organizing your emails. Many of us have thousands of emails, or they're all over the place, and we're constantly looking at how to separate those emails, how to organize them, what folder should we put them in, or if we should put them in a folder. For those of you that have thousands of emails that we just simply cannot catch up on, here's your quick tip. If you have not looked at emails past a month, majority of the time you're not going to go back and read them anyway if it's not simply nothing but junk. Delete them. It's no sense in keeping them there in your email if you're not going to use them or if it's useful information, because if it was or an email that you really needed to review, you would have noticed it already and opened it and responded to it. So delete those old emails. Create folders for clients for important tasks that you're doing, and that's your tiny tip for today. Organize your email with folders and get rid of the old. We are back with Phyllis Williams and her book, The Art of Me. And, you know, we were talking about, you know, the peer pressure. You know, understanding who you are, being who you are, and not trying to fit in a box of what everybody else thinks that you should be. So before we jumped off, Phyllis, you were saying, you know, how you were that different person and with the different color lipstick and just the way that, you know, your style and different things that you felt comfortable with. What advice would you give others from teenagers to adults that they're in that box and they're comfortable with where they are, and everybody else is, oh, no, you should look like this, you should dress like this, wear your hair like this, do this. And then let's get into, well, no, let's answer that first.
Okay. If someone's dealing with that, I would have them to question the person that's questioning them. Does my appearance, does my style make you uncomfortable? Does my dreams make you uncomfortable? And if so, I think that says more about you than it does about me. So I would put it back on the person. And just at the end of the day, just celebrate your uniqueness. If no one else does.
Okay. Okay. Now, what would you say to someone? Because it's kind of like I won't say it's really a contradiction, but you know, you have the ones that's comfortable within themselves, and then you have the group that they really need help in the sense of they really don't know what to do with their hair or how to dress or what's appropriate and things like that. So that's, you know, it's almost like they may be comfortable, but the same sense is, let me help because you don't know, let me help you to know. And then some that do know, they're just simply comfortable in that. So how would you, you know, explain to that person?
Well, the art of me is about appearance because as women we deal a lot with our appearance, but it's not solely based on that. So if they aren't, if it's not interfering with your job or your business, I would say continue to dress what makes you comfortable. If they want to wear a pilgrim
what if
dress,
it is interfering with their job?
Oh, if it is interfering with their job. Oh, yeah, if it's interfering with their job or career in any sense, whether it be business or professional, corporate America, I would definitely say seek help, get magazines. I just listened to an interview a few minutes ago, a young lady in the area of Fayetteville. She's an aspiring stylist. Her name is Kendall. So there's people that specialize in styling, and they will be more than happy to help you with a free consultation and give you some pointers.
Okay. But, okay, let's say, you know, I'm playing the devil's advocate right now. They're comfortable there, you know, and, you know, they don't want to change because, you know, you've been to some corporate America. You know, they walk in with the natural hair, the fro, the braid, you know, what have you. Some even go in with the, you know, blue lipstick or pink lipstick, but it's not too overbearing. And then some is like, whoa, hold on, you know. So it's, you know, there's a time and place for everything is what I would say. But how would you teach them to know the difference of, okay, you're here, don't go so bold, so loud, but no, I'm comfortable. This is me. This is who I am. You know, you have that person coming, you know, in that direction. So how would you, you know, what in your book can, that they can pull out of that to help them with that, distinguish the difference between the two?
Okay. I do have a few poems about corporate America, too. And sadly, if we are under corporate America, we have to follow corporate America's rules. So if they want to reach the pivotal point of their success or even just keep their job, I would say you have to be flexible, too. The art of me isn't just about being so strict in your eccentric ways that you can't be flexible. So it's because, for example, full-time I'm a teacher, and if I can't wear a miniskirt to work, not that I wear a miniskirt at all, but I can't wear that to work. And I just know after hours, after 3:30, that if I wanted to wear black leather pants, that's appropriate for work. And I'm a concrete person, like I stated. So I would go with, what does the handbook say? What are your guidelines for your profession? So at work, you can play the field, not play the field, but play the game.
Right.
But once you're done, after work, you can really be you. And maybe that's just a further sign that that person needs to be an entrepreneur so they can do whatever they like to do.
Okay. Let's talk through a couple of the strategies you have in the book. You have 30 strategies for discovering your self-worth. Let's go through, you know, two or three of them. And share one, how you know, I know you said some of the strategies were shared from one of your mentors, but how did you get to that strategy to elaborate on it and to turn it into a poem and turn it into a read? So let's pick the top three.
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
I said let's go with the top three strategies in your book.
Okay, the top three strategies. One strategy that I think is very important is affirmations. Marshawn Evans, she's a coach as well, and she says, speak what you seek until you see what you say. I'm not sure if a lot of people realize the things we speak over our lives. I'm never going to get a raise. I'm never going to get married. And then they're 50 years old and they're not married, and they wonder why. Because they've been saying it over and over and over, and again, words have power. So my first one would be affirmations. My second one would be giving. In the book, I also talk about giving. And, of course, when you give, it comes back to you, maybe not through that person, but it may come back to you in another form. And one of the strategies I have in there is giving to another woman. And it doesn't have to be anything expensive. It doesn't have to be a coach purse.
Of course.
If I know you like spices, or if I know you like coffee,
you're giving back.
Yes, sincere giving. It would be that too. And the third one would be I'm trying to decipher which one to choose, the third one. I would say it would refer to relationships. Make sure you're in a healthy relationship where you're not being drained or you're not imbalanced, because you're always doing it. As women, it's just our nature to nurture, give, and don't receive. There's so much stuff going on in the media with women in abusive relationships or women that don't understand their worth. I remember seeing a lady on the Mary Mary lady. I don't know her name, but how she said she got out of her character because she caught her husband cheating, and she's staying with him, and that's her choice. But when I hear stuff like that, when I, even if it's through the grapevine of somebody from your small town or a coworker, I can't help but think, does this person really know their worth? Because I think some women are like, well, I don't want to be lonely. He pays the bills. And I would definitely say consult with God before you make a decision. But don't make a decision just out of fear of being lonely.
Wow, those are some good ones. And it's interesting that you use Tina as an example on the relationship end of it. Because, yeah, I mean, with that, she showed that she's human. I may be a celebrity, I may be a gospel singer, but I'm human. And things happen. And she noticed that she got out of her character. I mean, she went in her moment, and it is what it is, you know, it happened. But she came back, and she was able to look at that. She apologized for that. And then the music that came from out of that, oh, my God, it's like, you know, she was just writing, and, you know, the one that I like the most is called Hallelujah. I love that song. You know, it's not a lot of music or anything. It's just all her in there. So I guess, you know, what you're saying is like on those relationships, it depends on where you are and what you get out of that and facing the reality of the situation and not pushing it under.
Yeah, but that also goes back to sometimes how our difficult situations can bring out, paint a portrait for us, a portrait of peace, a portrait of forgiveness, or things of that nature based on something that we thought was purely pain.
So when you say relationships, based off of the strategy you have in your book, talk about not only relationships from, you know, a marriage or engagement thing, but relationships with, you know, friends, with relatives, with business associates. So how would your strategy hit on those?
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up, because I do talk about a romantic relationship, but I also talk about a parental relationship as well. There's a poem where I discuss the history of me and my dad. We're on good terms now, but there was once upon a time that I had him on the block list because I just didn't want to deal with him because he interrupted my peace. But just like wives forgive their husband, children can forgive their parents. And I think there's a lot of adults who still hold on from the pain that their parents caused them, and they get stuck in that. And if the adult's not careful, it can seep into their parenting style. I also talk about friendships. What is a friend? We may have all these friends on Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff, but only less than
we don't know none of them.
People.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's even thought about, hey, we connected on Facebook. Do I know you? You know,
yes.
And it's not being ugly, but it's kind of like, yeah, you've friended these people. I mean, you've even, you know, might have a relationship where, you know, you're messaging back and forth. Y'all always come in on things, but you've never met each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's true.
So it's, this social media is like, when it says taken over, it has taken over. It's taken
yes,
over.
It has. But I had a thought today. I think people mm-hmm. still want to get back to authentic relationships. And I think that's why Facebook Live and Periscope is doing so well and Blab,
mm-hmm.
because you feel like you're really talking to someone. And I thought about that driving from work today, that I think that's why so many people are now pursuing that. Even in Facebook, you can do a video message, or not a video message, an audio message, or something like that. People still want to hear your voice, to see your face, so they can feel
mm-hmm.
a deeper connection than just reading text.
Right. It's that live reaction, and even though mm-hmm. you may not talk to them directly, you're getting that live feed, you know,
mm-hmm.
that, the full reaction of the whole situation at that moment. Affirmations, that is so true. And like how people, you know, be careful what you say. That little small
mm-hmm.
sentence is a huge thing, so... What brought you to affirmations?
Like I said earlier about, I think we say things and we don't realize the power of it. And about me becoming a best-selling author, I remember I consulted with someone I was in the military with. I won't call him a friend or not an enemy, but I'll just say someone I was in the military with. And they're like, Phyllis, your
mm-hmm.
book is a really good concept. It's too bad that you don't have a huge following. Because if you did, you'll be a best-selling author. This was
mm-hmm.
at the very beginning of the stage of my book, and I thought, I was like, yeah, you're right. It would do good or be a best-selling book if I had a huge following or something. Then I
mm-hmm.
started just, I'm big on reading. Most writers are big on reading. I just started reading different stuff, listening to different stuff that talks about the power of words. And also, one of the books was One Word That Will Change Your Life.
Mm-hmm.
So my word for that particular year was speak. And I learned
mm-hmm.
the power of speaking things into existence. So I started saying, I'm going to become a best-selling author. I want to become a best-selling author. And I would just say it periodically in the mirror, and it came to fruition. But I also remember saying things like, if they choose somebody to switch jobs, it's going to be me. If they choose somebody to switch locations, it's
right.
going to be me. And I just kept thinking it. And, of course, that happened too. And I don't think a lot of people stand that. And someone corrected me today for something I said. I said, I'm going to go crazy dealing with these teachers. And they said, wait
mm-hmm.
a minute.
Hold
Don't
on.
Say that. Don't say that.
Yeah.
So I just really want us to be more mindful of our self-talk. Sometimes even when somebody else compliments us, we're like, oh, no,
mm-hmm.
it's no big deal. Oh, you're beautiful. Oh, no, my nose is pointy and stuff like that. So not only affirmations,
and you're
but
right
self-talk.
About that. I'm very guilty of that one, because I'm like, oh, you're good at this. I'm like, I'm all right. You know, but I have to, you are absolutely right. I will get better at that. I'm guilty of that. Yeah, I'm like, I'm all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right.
And then even just like listening to sermons or meditation tapes that talk that they use affirmations. And I'm going to speak at an event next week, but I was thinking about affirmations and this crossed my mind. I'm not sure if you remember the video with the boy in the baseball field by himself.
No.
Okay, so he throws the ball in the air and he says, "I'm the greatest hitter in the world," and he swings and air. You can hear the air from his force. Then he does it again and he throws it in the air and he says, "I'm the greatest hitter in the world," and he swings again, and he swings so much that he almost falls over. So he grabs the ball again, throws it in the air, swings, give it all his might, and he misses again. And he just sits there for a while, and he says, "I'm the greatest pitcher in the world." And and that commercial crossed my mind. I thought it was more about confidence, but it is about confidence, but it's also about affirmations of what do we say to ourselves when we were alone, because in that baseball field, he was by himself. And I think sometimes it's the things that we say when we're alone because we want to keep up appearance, we want to keep up that I got everything together, but then when the door shuts and you're all alone, your self-talk or your affirmations are just out of whack.
Wow. And the next, I know I kind of went backwards. I had to go in the order that you gave them, but giving, that is huge. And you know, like you said, it's not about always giving back to that person that gave to you, but when you sincerely give to anybody for whatever reason, that's what's going to make it come back to you, not, "Oh, remember, I bought you this or I gave you this." If you gave it from your heart, you don't need to tell nobody to remember when.
That is so true. Nope. And I think a lot of people are apprehensive to receive because they've experienced that. They've experienced somebody say, "Well, you remember September 12th, 1989.
Right.
I gave you a ride to the store and I ain't even charge you with gas money." Then you're like, I don't even want to ask for help now. So
right.
But I think giving is a really important character trait. I recently learned that it was a spiritual gift. I didn't know that. But I think if you do give, of course, give from your heart, like you said, and don't give without the expectation of receiving. And also think about that person. One of the greatest gifts I received, one was from my sister, Trisha. She gave me a bracelet with money from different parts of the world because that's something I would like to do. And that was just so big to me. And I don't even think she knew how much I appreciated that gift. Yeah. And another one was from Coach Billy C. She recently gave us a gratitude journal. And I see a shift in my life already because I focus on more of what I'm grateful for than what went wrong that day. So, and of course, since I've received, I want to bless somebody else and pass it on.
That's that giving. We have a few callers on, and I want to open up the lines to see if they, you know, have any questions or comments or anything for you. But before we do, I'm going to ask that you, let's pick affirmations, if you could share that poem with us.
Affirmations, okay. Hold on 1 second. And it was it a short story? Hold on.
Okay, we could just do a little paragraph or something of it.
Okay. Speak. Roll your shoulders back, lift your head up, and speak. Speak as if you can move mountains. Speak as if you can part waters like Jesus. Speak. As if you can create the world into existence. I'm trying to find it. I have a horrible memory. Okay. Do over. Speak.
Okay.
Pull your shoulders back, lift your chin up, and speak. Speak as if you can bring down walls like Joshua's army, as if you can create existence like God, as if you can calm troubled waters like Jesus. Speak with confidence and gentleness. Speak in truth and in love. Speak for yourself and the voiceless. Speak because your voice is valuable. Speak because your ideas can shape a nation. Speak because forever is a long time to hold your peace. Speak. Roll your shoulders back, your chin up, and speak.
Okay. Thank you. I like that. I appreciate that. So let's open up the lines, and we're going to, open up. If anyone have any questions or comments for Phyllis, the lines are open. Anyone?
Hello?
Oh, yes, we can hear you.
Okay. My name is Wybrita Ashton, and I served with Phyllis in the Marine Corps. And I just want to let you know that you have done a wonderful job. I really enjoy listening to you tonight.
Oh, thank you so much. Super fine.
Always.
Wow. Well, thank you, caller. Anyone else have anything for Phyllis?
Hello, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Hi, Phyllis. It's Coach Billy.
Hey.
How are you guys? Good evening. This has been a great interview. I want to say to my fellow Toastmaster, you did an awesome job. You're doing an awesome job. I love what you're doing. And one thing that stuck with me was when you were talking about change. And you asked Phyllis, what would you say to someone who they feel like, the way that I am, it's fine. No matter where I am, I can be this way. And I loved your answers, Phyllis. The thing I will add is to always ask yourself this question. What do you hope to accomplish by being who you are? Is this going to get you to where I want to be and where I want to be? Sometimes we have to, be flexible and make those small changes. No one's saying change who you are. Clothes don't make you. Your hair doesn't make you. You're still going to be that bright light. You're going to be whatever God has destined you to be, wherever you are. So we always have to ask ourselves, what do we hope to accomplish? And that's it. Great interview. You guys are doing awesome.
Thank you.
Coach Billy.
Thank you.
I had to write that down.
Look,
what do you hope to accomplish by being who you are? I had to write that down.
Can we say that's going to be the next book?
I'll let her write that one.
Co-author, there you go. There's your co-author. Well, so Phyllis, let everybody know, if they want to connect with you, purchase the book, how can they get with you, connect with you on social media?
I am on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope. On Facebook, Instagram, and Periscope is Progress Promoter. My website is going to be up in maybe 3 weeks. It's also progresspromoter.com. And you can contact me there. The book is available on Amazon, The Art of Me, 30 Strategies for Discovering Your Self-Worth. So I look forward to connecting with you all.
Okay. Thank you so much for coming onto the show. Thank you for sharing your book, your top 3 strategies. And we look forward to what's next. Is there a part 2 to The Art of Me?
Yes, what I'm going to focus on after my book is actually an online course because the book will be a staple to helping you discover your worth. But in case you need more assistance, I'm also going to do an online course, The Art of Me University, and it'll cover 4 issues. I am worthy of peace, I am worthy of success, and 2 more that I can't think of off the top of my head.
Oh, wow. I look forward to that. So when that's ready, we need to have you back on so we can talk about that as well.
Okay.
We definitely do. So we have, again, we've had Phyllis Williams on with The Art of Me, 30 Strategies for Discovering Your Self-Worth. It's Business Baby. You can get with us on Facebook, it's Business Baby. We're on Twitter, it's Business Babe 1, and that's it's Business B-A-B 1 on Twitter. And we're on Instagram, it's Business Baby. So as always, you can always check out the show later. Archive is always on the internet for you to listen to it later and also to share at www.blogtalkradio.com/IBB. Thanks again, Phyllis, for coming onto the show. And thank you, listeners. And I wish you much success.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Have a wonderful
Bye-bye.
Day.
You too.
Business Baby with Melissa Ambry on Blog Talk Radio. Savvy solutions for your business.